Good evening. Okay, our opening scripture is Matthew 13. We're reading verses 3 to 8 to begin with. Matthew chapter 13 and verses 3 to 8. Now this is the Lord speaking. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gathering of people, Lord, who love you and love your word and want to hear from you. And thank you, Father, for the access that we have to your word, that we can hear it preached and we can have it in our hands. Lord, we pray that you guide us, Lord, and that we would draw out truths from it, Father, and teach us so that we can grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's message is about fruit. Our Lord, in his wisdom, has chosen fruit as a metaphor for the spiritual product of a person's life. Their produce, if you like. The quality of this produce depends totally on the condition of a person's heart. It's a perfect metaphor. The Lord created nature, and it has abundant truths to illuminate the scriptures. It's no coincidence the Lord has designed it this way. This evening's message is entitled, You Shall Know Them by Their Fruits. In reading scripture, it becomes plain that fruit is broadly anything that proceeds from a person, their words, their actions, their legacy. And it's useful for identifying not only false teachers, but false believers, and even for examining ourselves. Our next scriptures are Proverbs 12:14 and 18:20. Two proverbs which speak of fruit, not literal fruit, of course, but spiritual fruit. Proverbs 12:14, A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. And 18:20, A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. These scriptures refer to the fruit of a man's mouth as determining whether he shall have satisfaction. His words will be either a blessing or a curse upon himself. There is clearly a distinction between good and bad fruit in the Bible. I did a message some time ago about how our words, our speech, declares our citizenship to either God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom, one or the other. And fruit includes not just our speech, but our actions as well. And they are either good or bad, and our fruits determine the future course of our life, either good or bad, according to God's judgment. Our next scripture is in Jeremiah, chapter 24, 1 to 10, an illustration of that involving the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 24, verses 1 to 10. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Joachim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them, and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah the king of Judah and his princes and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. Israel has always been described as the fig tree in Scripture, and Jesus condemned the nation because it bore no good fruit. And we'll read of an illustration of that in Mark 11, verses 11 to 14. You can turn there if you like, but I'll just read it out. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter for ever. And his disciples heard it. And then down to verses 19 to 21. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Immediately after Jesus had dealt with the wicked practices of the Jews inside the temple, it was declared that Israel would be destroyed. And this was represented, symbolized, of course, by the fig tree perishing. And it was because the Lord came seeking fruit and found none fit to eat. And believe the word of God, but he is patient in waiting. He's not quick to condemn. He is not willing that any should perish. Luke 13:6-9. Speaking of God's patience. This is the Lord Jesus speaking again. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And another scripture, James 5:7, speaking to the believer, and how we must be patient to bear fruit. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. God never condemns without ample warning. The religious leaders have been warned by the scriptures for centuries, right? But then they had John the Baptist personally talking about fruit to them. Mark, next scripture is Matthew 3-8. Beg your pardon, 3:8. This is John the Baptist speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So fruit is something God expects, and he will do everything in his power to prepare the earth and dress the plant to bring forth fruit. But the man or the woman can harden the ground of their heart if they so choose. There are some scriptures I want us to consider on the subject of fruit now. Our next is Matthew 7 verse 16. Few pages forward. Speaking of false teachers, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And also in James chapter 3 verses 11 to 18. James chapter 3 verses 11 through to 18. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You see that fruit is only ever produced after the manner of the tree. It is as true for the man that his fruits shall be like unto his own nature as nature itself with the fruit-bearing tree. The whole point of planting orange seeds or apple seeds or mango seeds is that we expect with absolute certainty to see an orange tree or an apple tree or a mango tree emerge from that particular seed. And we likewise expect with absolute certainty that any fruit that tree bears will be of the same kind. God made it this way. Genesis 1 verses 11 to 12 from the very beginning. God made it this way. Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Amen. Creation doing exactly as God says. This is why we can know false teachers by their fruits. To know something, if we speak of knowing in the scriptural sense, is to have absolute conviction of something, to be utterly convinced of the truth of it. When you understand the nature of kinds and the certainty that all things you can see were made after its own kind, the lion was not begat by a lizard, for instance, and vice versa, despite what evolutionists rave. When you can understand that evil words, unbiblical words, could not proceed out of the mouth of a God-ordained teacher, you can trust your judgment is true, according to God's word, that falsehoods come out of a false heart. Well, there's two sides to every coin, and the word of God is a two-edged sword, mind. It cuts both ways, and examining ourselves, if we have applied the Lord's golden standard of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and judge not that ye be not judged, and we see fit regardless to scrutinize. Our Lord tells us then to first look to ourselves that we might ensure that our eyes are clear and working properly, to behold another's faults. The Lord is a judge, a righteous, holy judge, and he sets the method. Judge not in hypocrisy. It's as simple as that. So we are obliged to look at our own fruits to determine if they disqualify us from exercising our privilege to judge others' fruits. Do our fruits, or lack thereof, betray a heart not right with God? After what kind do these fruits come? We'll close by reading the interpretation of the parable that we opened with, that the Lord gave in our opening scriptures, and a warning about the same. So that's Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receives the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it,
which also beareth fruit. The one that beareth fruit is the one that is saved. And bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Matthew 7, 15 to 19. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.